Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today in Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon, we're in that new series of talking with artists, writers, musicians about their three P's, their project, their purpose, their passion, why they're passionate about their project, and what their cause is and how you can connect with them. My guest today is Neil Ryan. He is on an amazing adventure going across two countries. And we're going to let you get in on that right now. Thank you.
My name is Neil Ryan, and I'm an 83-year-old adventurer traveling south in a motorhome looking for another adventure. I have been a bit of an adventurer for most of my life, and I decided that growing old in comfort is not necessarily the best use of my energy, and so I decided to have an adventure, and I'm headed somewhere, but I'm not sure where, but I'm probably going to wind up in Los Angeles in a day or two, and
well, some of the best journeys are made without a destination in mind to start with, right?
Yeah, I would like to describe it as an adventure to look into the eye of the dragon. And I don't know totally yet what that means, but I'm one of the things that I do is I write poetry. And it seemed like a poetic explanation for this trip, because it doesn't have a specific destination. But I like the idea of looking into the eye of the dragon.
Yeah,
what is life about? What is the meaning of my life at 83 years of age?
Yeah, it's certainly loaded with symbolism and just layers of meaning there. The dragon, the eye of the dragon. Trying to figure out, as you said, sort of your purpose, I guess, or continue to explore your purpose. We're doing this interview as part of Charlotte's 3 P's and a C series, and the first one is purpose. So I don't know if you can, you know, succinctly define your purpose, but what would you say, Neil, is your purpose, or what are your thoughts around the idea of purpose?
The purpose is to have an adventure, to explore my own personnel. I have a question.
Yeah.
And that is what? Who am I? And I'm curious as to who is I? I can say all the things that I've done in my lifetime, that I've done lots of traveling, lots of research for clients. Research for universities on the value of their technologies, wound up going to China not only for UBC, which sponsored a trip as long as I paid for it, but there is a human being inside of this body. And I think I need to get to know him. And I think I would like to do that because I understand that there is a termination of this experience that I call I, or that I call me. So the purpose is really, really simple, and that is to I've never spent time just looking after me. And although I find it really challenging to be in a 22-foot motorhome traveling down the coast, I also feel as though that's what I need to do. I need to spend time with myself.
You know, it's very interesting that you bring up the question, who am I? Because, well, to pull the curtain back a little bit for our listeners, we were supposed to meet and have this conversation yesterday on Wednesday, but technology got in the way and we couldn't get a stable internet connection. So now we're meeting today on Thursday afternoon, and this morning up here at the radio station, we have a weekly meeting where we go through sort of anti-oppression diversity materials. And one of the questions we were asked was to close our eyes and think about, who am I? And currently we have an intern with us from Germany. Her name is Vivian, and she's here for like 6 months. And she's, I actually don't know exactly how old, but, you know, pre-university, between high school and university. And her response was that, oh, you know, I think I'm at that age where I don't really know who I am yet. I think, as you're saying, as you've been saying, that's not necessarily, there's not an age where you just figure it out, right? You don't know by any certain point. It's something that you're constantly working on.
Well, I'm learning something, and that is that there is a distinction between I and me. Mm. Me is the things I do. Me is the lessons I learn, the research that I've done for years and years and years and years. But I, who am I? That's really a question that I'm still asking as I travel down the road. And by the way, I meet people along the way. And if I really, really look carefully at the people that I meet, it tells me a lot about the me that I am. So I say, hey, I'm an 83-year-old crazy guy traveling in a motorhome, but I'm learning to be with me, to be simple. And by the way, that has been really difficult to learn as mm-hmm. I travel down, is that I want to go back to where it's warm and safe, only with the snow in Washington State and Oregon. I'm not in a hurry to go back to BC.
Yeah, it might not be warm or safe there at this point.
Well, I'm planning at this point in time to see if I can spend 6 months just traveling in the South. I like the high desert. I've been to Taos, New Mexico. I've been to Sedona, Arizona. So I've been to these places in the high desert. My trip to Sedona, my thoughts about Sedona is there's snow in the high mountains to get there. So I'm gonna avoid the weather's changing, and I have to be careful about traveling. And because for example, today the rain was very heavy, and I was on the highway with heavy traffic and heavy rain. So I'm being very careful. I'm comfortable. At one point in time, somebody asked me, are you still driving? I say, well, yeah, of course. I'm not that old, but apparently a lot of people don't like to drive. But it's been my favorite thing to do is to give me a highway and a tank of gas is one of my favorite sayings.
Yeah, well, that level of freedom and independence and adventure is hard to rustle up any other way, I think.
Yeah, I wish I could tell everybody that life has to include an adventure, otherwise it's a waste. And I'm also of the belief that there is nothing that I can do that's important, that everything I do is important, but not one specific thing like being a judge or being a lawyer or being a this person or that person. I've never wanted to have a label. And even when I was doing market research for Simon Fraser University or doing a study on technology for UBC, I never thought of myself as a quote unquote consultant. I was a student of life. And whatever you want to learn more of, then I'm the person to do that for you.
Well, and isn't that just the spirit of adventure, right?
That way I stay a student of life, a student learning. I could learn anything and call it a joy, call it an experience of adding to my experiences in life.
Well, I think that's a very powerful and important message to share, because I think people look for meaning and purpose in their lives all the time. And, you know, we are sort of conditioned, as you've alluded to look for that, you know, that title as a purpose, or that single action, as opposed to thinking about, you know, your life as a whole and the relationships that you have with people and the impact that you're leaving overall, instead of in these sort of singular moments.
Yes, I know I'm far from perfect. I mean, I know that, because there is no way in this difficult world to just be a perfect human being. We are all here learning. So if you make the learning the purpose, and I guess maybe that's, if I had to define to see the eye of the dragon, is to learn what is the dragon, what is the fear that is the driving force behind all that I do. You know, I don't want to just grow old and die. There's too much living to be done, too many people to meet, and too many books to sell. I'm happy to. I was in San Francisco for a few days, and the first day I was there, I went walking on the seawall, and I sold 3 books to people on the seawall. People just, I would meet them, we would chat, they say, "What are you doing?" I say, "I'm traveling here to sell my book." "Oh, what book is that?" "Well, I have a book called From the Other Side, and it's a book of poetry, and it's got 3 short stories, and I would share, here's my card, go to this website," and eventually say to them, "Hey, give me $20, I'll sell you a book." And first day I sold 3, second day I sold 1, the third day I sold 1, so... And then I got moved. They wouldn't let me park on the seawall anymore. So anyway.
Well, I mean, I think that's as good a transition as we're going to get to talking about your the second P, which is your creative product. Obviously, in this case, there is an actual tangible physical product, which is the book from the other side. What though? I mean, we can talk about your product in sort of broader general senses too, like your poetry, your writing. How would you describe your creative product?
I have a book that I had no specific reason other than the words just kept coming out of me. And in 2016, I did the first copy. I've revised it twice since then, so that there's 60 poems, 3 short stories. The short stories are focused on a soul. First short story is focused on a soul that is about to be born, and he's planning what his life is going to look like. And the second one is a short story called The Trial, because the soul doesn't want to be born into an alcoholic home. So he's asking for a solution. In fact, he's asking for the woman carrying his future being to have an abortion. And there's the controversy of abortion and birth rights and a whole bunch of things that I include in there, including a judge who comes up with a solution. And then the third short story is about a soul who, it's about an old guy that dies and goes back to the other side. So we open with From the Other Side and we close with To the Other Side. And in between those 3 short stories, there's 60 poems and 30 haiku. Well, actually only a few haiku, but the other ones are aphorisms or I just call them thoughts. There's 30 haiku or ends or thoughts that, for example, one of them would say, life is but a play, and we are all authors, and we are all actors, and we are the designers of the play that tell the story of our lives. Just a thought.
Just some truth right there. I'm struck when as you describe the stories and then the poems, the aphorisms, the thoughts that intersperse them, that there is something of your current journey in there, even if the book is already written.
Yeah, I've also written several more poems that are not in a book. So I have another start on a book, and I thought I might spend some time on this journey because I'm kind of planning to be here until springtime, until April. And I might consider, although I must tell you, poetry does not sell very well. But I read my poetry every Monday evening in a group called the Blue Water Poetry, and they're out of Michigan and Illinois, and I get thoroughly complimented by the response I get to my poetry, and I love those people. I really, really love those people, and I've never met any of them. I also have another group that I belong to that does intentional healing. And I meet them every Wednesday evening. And they're out of Washington State and one out of Oregon. And it's supposed to be a group of eight, but right now it's just a group of five. And we do a type of healing that says we create an intention to send energy to heal, and it doesn't matter what the problem is. We spend energy, focused energy, on taking an individual, and with their permission, by the way. So we meet on Zoom, and we met for the very, very first time and only time at the very first of November, and it was a wonderful meeting that we had in Richland, Washington, was where the five of us met. Anyway, Lynn McTaggart is a journalist who has noticed that when people focus their energy on healing, they can alter the course of dis-ease. And it's interesting. As Chief Dan George said in the movie Little Big Man, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Well, and I think there's something there. If you talk about art, poetry, art, and focusing energy to accomplish this task that is sort of beyond the physical world. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, right? But it's about the practice of doing it, the practice, the focus, and also the community that you form around it.
Well, I've been fortunate enough to travel around the world, and I've been all over China. I've been to Europe. I've been, as I like to say on my book, it says that I've traveled from South Island, New Zealand, to Reykjavik in Iceland, and 1,000 places in between. And there is something about energy. There's a vibe that I cannot tell you how it is or what it is, but there is a vibration. And all we try to do with our healing group is we try to change the vibration in the course of dis-ease. And I like to call it dis-ease. It's not disease, it's dis-ease, which is where the source of the energy turns into negative energy, turns into an injury of some sort, I once worked in a cancer clinic teaching EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. I worked there 4 years, once a week doing a class. I had 180 patients, cancer patients, go through my class, and I was teaching them Emotional Freedom Technique, EFT. And I learned to be a qualified teacher after spending a few years learning, and then I wound up teaching at a cancer clinic. And I will tell you something that I believe with my heart, and that is every cancer patient there had a dis-ease in their emotional reality. You know, the woman that was having ovarian cancer was trying to save her. When she was 5 years old, her mother died of ovarian cancer. And guess what she did? Not because she is connected genetically, DNA, because as we learn from Bruce Lipton, that nothing turns on a cancer gene. DNA cannot turn itself on. There has to be a vibe that tells the DNA that it wants to be a cancer. Anyway, so the standard medical model doesn't really apply. And by the way, that's why they stopped, because the BC government said, oh, you can't have somebody that's not a qualified medical teaching. And so they closed their acupuncture, they closed their massage therapy, they closed EFT, and there was another woman who was to do with lymph nodes and massage that they closed that, because the BC government said, if you're not a qualified medical doctor, well, excuse me, medical doctors typically don't know about healing, but that's just my opinion. So, but listen, we're at a time right now when the world is changing, and it's becoming apparent that there is more to this life than just you get born, you get married, you have kids, you grow old, you die, and yada, yada, yada. You do the same thing over and over again. You know, when my son was 2 years old, he's now 55, I went to my friend who was a youth counselor and said, hey, what's this all about? You know, you get born, you get trained and how to live in the world, and then you get married and you have kids and you grow, have a job and you grow old and then you die. Excuse me, we're doing the same damn thing over and over and over, generation after generation. When are we going to wake up? Because we have a society. I mean, I'm in the Walmart parking lot. You know, in this store is everything imaginable.
Yeah.
And it comes in three different sizes. And so we're gleefully destroying this planet just with consumerism, just, you know, and I don't know what the solution is. And maybe that's what my purpose of this trip is, to try and understand that we are a species intent on destroying our home, where we live. We don't respond to the idea that no animal dirties in its own nest except humans and whales.
Our long-lost cousins.
Say again?
Our long-lost cousins, the whales.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Well, Neil, you're obviously very passionate. I know, both through this conversation and through just my relationship with you, I know you're very compassionate. You're passionate about poetry. You're passionate about healing. How would you describe your passion in your own words?
I don't know if this is a good idea, but I'm going to suggest that I read a poem.
Yeah.
And I read my book. Read just one poem that talks about compassion. And there's several poems in my book that really talk about the need for us to have compassion, not for the down and out, but for our compassion for ourselves, dealing with the things that we're experiencing. And it's called "It's Only a Dollar." It's only a dollar. He tossed the words out as he passed me by. It took a millisecond to cross the space between us as if he had thrown them at me. He tossed the words out, draped in disdain, as if he was throwing away something along with the words. It's only a dollar. The meta message and the body language conveyed his scorn for such lowly money. He was young and healthy and had a job, and contempt for the unimportant. I had just passed two beggars sitting on the sidewalk around the corner on 6th Street asking for spare change. The speaker may have noticed the beggars, or may not have, but he needed to look at the beggar man who was offering his passerby a gift. The opportunity to feel compassion, not by giving him or her money, but the opportunity to recognize the humanity in the beggar man. He or she had been loved as somebody's child, somebody's lover, somebody's parent, who have been defeated some way, some when, somehow. They are not broken people, but have taken on the role of a beggar offering a gift, the gift of an opportunity to experience compassion, compassion for our own humanity. Let's not pretend we wish it not so, but we all need compassion for the wounds that we carry. For to be human is to have been hurt some way, some when, somehow, wounded by life itself. The beggar needs to be thanked for taking on this difficult role in this lifetime, thereby allowing us to learn compassion for ourselves. And that's a bargain. After all, it's only a dollar.
Yeah, I think that beautifully illustrates what I see in you as a real passion to understand the human condition.
Yes, that's my, if I had to think about where is my passion is in compassion. The idea that says being a human being, half spiritual and half animal, and the difficulty of trying to keep those two opposite poles in the same experience called our lives.
Well, and what a difficult balancing act, huh?
Yes. Yes. I have a poem where I describe the two of them, you know, half animal, full of wants and needs, and half spiritual, full of prayers and kindness. I could read poetry all day long, because in my poems is my passion.
Yeah.
Is my thoughts that say, I'm here to share these words. And I guess if I really look at what my journey is about, my journey is the United States is hurting big time. I see it in the people that I meet, that, you know, it's, it's a country that's constantly at war somewhere because it's a military complex, this country, and it's always looking for a scrap somewhere. And hopefully it won't end the civilization between the United States and Russia and China and the countries that have the power, the serious power to destroy. But individually, these are beautiful people that are hurting. You know, they've got the most expensive medical system in the world and the highest cancer rate of any country in the world. And anyway, I saw it in my brother, who was an American. My brother lived in the United States most of his adult life and was infected with I'm white and I'm separate from the rest of the world, and I guess really, if I really, really tried to describe it, is that the United States needs to learn compassion. It needs to learn that we are all having a difficult time, and I think unhappy in the plentitude that this country can offer. It also offers unhappiness because things don't make life happy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a country of things. Supersize that? Can I supersize that for you? I was shocked when I was in Taco Bell, and they said, "Can I supersize that?" I thought that was just McDonald's.
No, it's a fundamental cultural concept, a part of America now, right?
Yeah.
Well, Neil, I think that sort of brought us full circle back to your purpose. We talked about your product, your poetry. We talked about your passion. The last thing we have to touch on is the C, which is how can people contact you or support your cause or project?
Well, I'd love you to go on Amazon and buy my book. That's the first thing. And so that's From the Other Side is on Amazon. And it's Neal, N-E-A-L-L. Last name is Ryan, R-Y-O-N. And I am on Facebook. And I have a website called FromTheOtherSide.ca. There's just poetry there. There's not even an opportunity to buy my book. You have to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or somebody that can sell you a copy of the book. And my internet address is ncr223@gmail.com. I'll repeat that. It's N as in Neil, C as in never mind, R as in Ryan, and so ncr223@gmail.com. And I would invite you to come to fromtheotherside.ca, read some of my poetry, and send me a comment or two at the NCR223 address. And I'd be happy to comment or read another poem.
Great. I'm excited to follow along on your journey and hear some updates as to how the trip through the soul of America goes.
I may head into the interior. As I said, I love the high desert I invite you to, when you think you might like an update, I invite you to send me a message, and I could do this with you again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to, I have an address in Los Angeles that I can send. I'm going to order some more books because I'm down. I came with 22 books. I've got 5 left. And I'm going to order some more and get them sent to my friend in L.A. And, this has been a pleasure to trying to search through my ideas about who I am and why I am, and the only reason that I can keep writing poetry is because I have the compassion for myself, that I have some thoughts to share. I'll give you one last reading.
Yeah.
The coin has 4 sides. Due to its infinite nature, the coin has 4 sides. Each side in balance. Each side hides a plus, and with it hides a minus. Each side is an experience that contains both yin and yang, always in balance. Each experience has 4 sides, eternally equal. Each drought has a flood. Each famine has a bounty. The universe eternally resets the balance of plus and minus. Each sunrise has a sunset. Each birth has a death. The universe is Libra, the constant guardian of balance. All that is within is without. All that is without is within. The universe is perfection within perfection. Take notice, every time you win something, you are made to let go of something. Every time you lose something, a doorway to something new is opened. The true nature of life is the coin has 4 sides. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. Great talking to you. Do you have, off the top of your head, a song or two that you'd like me to play to round this out?
Well, I'll tell you. When I was 22, I used to live near Ottawa, and I would drive home to Toronto after I got off work at midnight. And a jazz program out of Chicago, and I could get it every time as I would head down the highway to Toronto. And they would be playing a piece of music called Coming Home. It's on the Village Gate, and the artist is Herbie Mann. And I used to listen to that when I was 22, as I would drive the 250 or 300 miles. I can't remember how far it was, but I would listen to this until I got close to Toronto, it would go away. But he would play Herbie Mann. It's a fabulous album, but the one he would play in between songs, he would play Coming Home.
Well, good morning again. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C. Thank you for joining me this morning on Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. I'm sure in hearing Neil Ryan's story about his adventure across two countries, you might think more about what your project, purpose, and passion is. And if you are a writer, musician, performing artist, and would like to tell your story, you can contact me at I am Sister C, I-M-S-I-S-T-A-C at gmail.com. And I want to thank the station for working with me to do this broadcast over two countries and with varying internet. That's an adventure in itself. So I'll see you again next week at 10. And you know, I always say it's love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time. Poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time.